Blog Talk Radio.
Jeremy Scott Gibbs, are you in the house, Apostle?
I am here, Apostle Sister Bishop. I'm ready to roll.
Let's make it happen. Listen, we're excited to be here with you tonight for the Prophetic Roundtable. And as always, it's our sheer delight just to break the bread of life with you tonight. And so tonight we're still in our series, The Rise of Manifested Sons. I don't think we're going to leave there for quite some time because we're just in that season. And it is absolutely time for the manifested sons to rise. So listen, we're excited that
absolutely.
You're here tonight. If you are here, you are here by divine appointment. You got the memo. You got the message. And you showed up because of who you are and because of whose you are. We are governmental officials in a kingdom that has no ending. And listen, we are part of a military force that is both heavenly and earthly. And it's just infinite. It's an infinite army, Apostle. We've got backup coming
absolutely.
From all sides, I promise you. Backup coming
Amen.
From anywhere, and our Father is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of armies, the God of hosts, and I'm excited to be called one of the sons of God tonight. I'm excited, and if we're here tonight, we want to allow ourselves to let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened tonight. We want to definitely awaken out of any slumber, any place in us that is sleeping or slumbering. We want to be awakened tonight that we might rise and become the manifested sons of God that we really are. I'm excited tonight, Apostle.
Amen.
How about you? Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Absolutely. Tonight's subject is prophetic and apostolic identity. Prophetic and apostolic
right.
identity. Boy, is that a hot topic there. And we're going to talk a couple little things inside of that. We're going to talk about identifying problems. We're going to talk about de-evolution versus the revolution of mankind. We're going to talk about some things tonight that I think is really going to bless you and take you to the next dimension in your walk with God. I really believe that tonight. So before we get started, let's go ahead and let's pray really quickly and go ahead and get this thing started. Father, we thank you tonight for reestablishing the order that you established from the very beginning for man and for creation. That was the purpose in which you sent your son, was to reestablish the things. The earth and all of creation is in travail, and we decree and declare that tonight, perpetual and successful birthing and manifestation of the kingdom of God is going to come forth from your manifesting sons. May your heaven invade our earth tonight. Take us deeper and deeper into the kingdom reality, God. We move with the Spirit of God to remain aligned, to draw from the resources of heaven tonight, and that word order was before law. We know that order came before law, so we're thankful tonight that you've reset us back to the order of God, and we are not under the
Amen.
Old covenant. We're not under the law anymore. So tonight, give us revelation and clarity tonight as we speak. Give us the speed and the accuracy to hit the points that you desire for your people to hear tonight, that they might not be missing or lacking anything tonight. In the name of the Lord, we give you
Absolutely.
Glory, honor, and praise. And it is so. It is so.
Amen.
Now, Apostle, earlier, as we were bringing ourselves to our point tonight, you know, this is what we do every week, and this is what apostles and prophets, that's why it's so important that we have schools and that we have gatherings for apostles and for prophets, and we're going to be doing that in the seasons to come on a very large
yeah.
on a very large scale, because it is important and it's imperative that we come together, because apart from each other, we might be absolutely anointed, but as a force, we are to be, we
yeah.
can't be reckoned with. Are you listening to what I'm saying? As a force,
absolutely.
We cannot be reckoned with. So tonight, we're
right.
going to share some things from the Word of God that I believe are absolutely going to bless you. One of the things, Apostle, that have really been on my mind, and on my heart has been this thing about the adversary attempting to kill the technology called mankind. Now, you know, people are wondering, I'm sure, like, what is that about, Apostle Lee? Well, there is technology. Before there was the technology that we use today, God has always operated from a place of technology. What is technology? It's the operation of a thing. It's the way a thing moves and how it operates and how it activates and all of that, how the mechanism is devised and how the device is used, all of that. And so mankind was created from a very specific place. He was created from the imagination of God, and we are the action image of God's mind. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We are his image in action in the earth. And so he has a specific design and desire for mankind. Well, what was the enemy's whole issue? His issue was manifestation. He said, listen, I'm okay with Adam being in the garden by himself, but when this chick with the womb shows up, we got a problem because now he can multiply. Now he can manifest some things. So I need to get in the way and stop this manifestation. I need to stop this multiplication. I need to stop this dominion that's in operation because I'm not really afraid of the man, but I am afraid of manifestation. This is where the enemy is. And so he's been attempting, like many people have over the centuries. You know, people steal people's ideas all of the time, Apostle Jamie. They do it in the church culture all the time, don't they? Don't we know people today?
Yep, absolutely.
Gotta take your idea and say, I'm using that, and I'm not going to give you credit for it. I'm trying to tell you. But listen, there are people that are literally in the world culture taking other people's ideas. They've killed the people who actually came up with the idea or tried to make them look like nothing or make them look crazy so that they could capitalize and gain the influence to do what they were doing, but they were stealing the ideas from somewhere else. And so this is what the enemy has been attempting to do all of this time. Is to take the technology that God put in the earth and try to subvert it. Are you hearing me? So he wastes a lot of time. I'm sure he's won some battles, but he's wasting a lot of time with the manifested sons. But his whole goal is to change the narrative. When God comes and speaks to the man, the enemy comes behind him, and I feel the Holy Ghost already, Apostle Jerry. I'm telling you, my whole face is just tingling. He wants to come and change the narrative of what God has spoken to his creation. So that the technology can go forth. And so we're excited about these cell phones and all this stuff we got. We consider this major technology, but there is a de-evolution of the technology called mankind, and the purpose for which Christ came, the purpose for which Yeshua HaMashiach came, was to reset us and to take and to cause a revolution so that we could go back to the technology, the original technology of God called mankind. Apostle, what do you have to say about that? I know you got something to say about that.
You know, it's so interesting. If you look at all of technology today, modern technology, it is all an attempt to copy man.
It is.
They don't really understand man completely. I was just I was in vicinity of somebody listening to one of the science programs, and they were talking on this program about how the scientists believe at this point that everything has come from dark matter. And dark matter, you know, during the Big Bang theory, and so their conclusion is, you know, somebody asked them, where did we come from? We came from dark matter, and because dark matter was there before there was, you know, any other type of matter. And I'm listening to these people pontificate and talk about it. I'm like, man, if you would just come over and actually acknowledge the Creator, then that would make sense because it says in the beginning there was
in
darkness
the beginning,
and void was over the face of the
earth. It was darkness. Come on, somebody.
They're talking about it, and they're going, dark matter, and they know that the planets couldn't have come about, you know, just gradually. It had to be something spontaneous, and I'm like, dude, the only part you're missing is the hand of the Creator in there. And so I look at all the things that we're doing technology-wise, and they're trying to create robots, androids, things of that nature. They're talking about a lot of these self-driving cars right now. They're trying to – all these things are doing is trying to replicate what man – what is within man? You know, they're trying to get cars that think for us. They're trying to get the faster we go, that's just to speed man up so he can get where he needs to go. All of these things that they're doing is to accelerate us. And if we would just tap into it,
we already have that capacity. Oh my God!
Absolutely, but we don't surrender and yield to the Spirit of God the way that, I mean, you think about it.
Wow.
When Philip was taken and translated from one city to another. He didn't think that was strange. In fact, when Elijah disappeared,
that was normal. That's what I was about to say. Elijah,
that was normal to
that
them.
That was a regular occurrence for him. That was regular. Do you want us to go find your father?
Prophet,
listen, we'll go look for
exactly.
him.
Exactly. We'll go look for him.
Yeah,
because
Elisha
knew. This was a different journey he was taking. But the rest of the prophets said, he probably just popped up over here, or he's over there, or maybe we could go check this city. They were thinking, hey, normal thing. He just went up. He came back down somewhere. We'll find him real quick. It'll be good. And he's and Elisha's trying to tell him, no. No,
this is a different type of journey. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. So you know, we think about the technology. Man is always looking in the wrong places for the right things.
Come on.
And that's what's amazing to me. We're always looking in the wrong places for the right things. If you know, we would seek to be, all that technology does is try to make our life, the word we gravitate towards easy, but it's to make our life more productive. There's a study that they've done, or not a study, but a summary that they've done of how much energy it took 100, 200, 500 years ago to do certain tasks, okay? 500 years ago, you had to have whale oil and other types of fuel to light your candle, light your lamp. Before that, they had wax and candles. And so they didn't do much productivity after dark because it was cost ineffective. It cost so much money to do it. But as time progresses, now we can work 24 hours a day with very minimal amounts of energy spent. We can become so productive. And so I think about that in light of what the Lord's doing. And we think about productivity and technology, and I think, when things accelerate, it should be to produce more of the godlike character in the earth. But in fact, what's happening is they're producing more of the hedonistic. They're becoming more and more lazy and dependent upon these things instead of accepting these things. I look at it and I look at the church and they say, well, we've got the full canon of scripture. The Bible's all set. You know, we've got this, we got this, we got this, we got all these things like that. And I go, yeah, and we're as fractioned and divided and hapless as we've ever been. And yet we have more information
and
more revelation and more access. Yeah, revelationless. Mm-hmm. We have more access and opportunity than we ever had at any point in history, and yet we're not using it.
We're de-evolving.
Well,
we're de-evolving instead of revolving.
You're on a broadcast tonight. We trust and believe that you're accessing, because, number one, you're listening here, and we're listening to the Lord. We're moving forward, and we're saying, look, we want to access as much of this as humanly possible, or spiritual. I'm going to say spiritually possible, because there's a lot more that we can do than in our human state. But in our spiritual state, we can do much more. So when we talk about technology, I get excited, because I'm a technology. I love it.
God,
I look at technology as a way to make me so more productive, to make things, to get the word out, to get spread the message, and not just spread the message, but speak peace and life over people, and just.
That's part of the message, brother. That is the message. It is. That's how
Absolutely.
It works. And it's funny, Apostle, that you can't talk nobody into a flip phone in this age because of all the technology and all of the upgrades and all of this stuff that we had. But they operate in flip phone technology spiritually. It baffles me that they're still on the old concepts. They're still in the old dimensions, still in the old paradigms, as if that's the way to do things, and wondering why they're not going anywhere. Why they're not outrunning chariots, you know what I'm saying? Why they're not doing the things that they've read in the Word, because you're in an old paradigm. You're in an outdated system, you know. And outdated systems, you can't even upgrade the software to the upgraded software, because it doesn't fit. It doesn't work together. And so I'm just excited about what God is doing, in the fact that He's raising His manifested sons in this season. And there are some really particular things that were on my heart tonight in the way of dealing with this. You know, I want to mention this really quickly, and I don't know how much. I'm going to try to do it in like 2 minutes, because I want to jump to this whole thing about kings and priests. Time me, Apostle, time me. I want to talk about this thing about kings and priests, because we need to identify problems, and instead of reinforcing the problem, we need to find the solution. We talked about that on the phone today. But I want to talk about this. It's so funny to me. I was talking with my youngest grandson the other day, and I realized something. I talk about this, and I preach this, but not from this angle. The language that babies speak, we call it baby gibberish, right? Mm-hmm. But that technology actually makes sense to them. They are communicating from a place where they think that you know what they're saying, they know what they're talking about, and they know what they're asking for. You just don't know. The funny thing about that is that you've been there before, but you don't recall where you came from. okay?
Right.
But they're still close
right.
to their origination, and so they're speaking the language. See, this might be too heavy for some people. God said they're speaking the language of where they came from, okay?
Right.
And what's happening is they have to learn the language of this dimension in order to function. But what happens is when they learn this language, they get so drawn away from the old language. But the Holy Spirit came to make sure that we maintain the language that we originally had. It's just such, that thing was so amazing to me, Apostle Jeremy, I'm trying to tell you. But the funny thing about that is the Holy Spirit told me this, and it just amazed me. He said, you can communicate to a baby the wonderful things of God. I said, talk to me, Holy Spirit. He said, speak the language that the child is speaking. We do it all the time, don't we? But we're laughing and joking because we're emulating what they're saying. But what if we really took that serious, like on the day of Pentecost? What if we really took that serious and began to minister to infants on a level that they could understand? The wonderful words
Absolutely.
Of God. Okay, I'm turning that loose. That thing messed me up. It messed me up. Are you hearing me? It's not baby gibberish. It's not baby gibberish. It's the origin of the language that they learned when they were, where they were, before they got here. And now all we need to do to really download some things into them is lay hold of the technology that they're operating from and use that system and whatever is the comparable stuff to download and upgrade in that system.
Yep.
It was just,
Absolutely.
It was amazing to me. So I want to talk about this because we were talking about this earlier, Apostle Jeremy. We want to kind of kick to Romans 7 and Romans 11 really quickly, and we've got like 13 minutes.
Yep.
I think we're doing wonderful. In Romans 7, Paul is talking about identifying problems. But what we wanted to talk about, this was on your heart, Apostle, was how to identify the problem without reinforcing the problem. Go ahead and take the floor for about 2.5 minutes, Apostle.
Yeah. You know, I was meditating on this and talking with the Lord a bit about it today, and I said, Lord, isn't it, you know, one of the big struggles that I see most believers have, and it stems from our birth, it stems from our origin. When we come into Christ, we already have a fallen mentality. We already have a negative mentality. It says those who do not believe, John, Jesus is quoted in John chapter 3, and he says, that we're already condemned
if we don't believe,
stands condemned. Yeah, so people are already in a place of condemnation and guilt before we come to Christ. So then we come to Christ, and we've still got this guilt and condemnation mentality, and Paul is trying to articulate that. And I've gone over this for the last 20, 25 years in Romans chapter 7, and when you get the real revelation of what he's talking about, it becomes so clear. But until then, you get to the end of the chapter, and it kind of feels like you're no matter what you do, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, because he says, who will save me from this, this wretched body? He says, who will rescue me from this? And then he starts out chapter, he didn't have chapters, obviously, when he wrote the letter to the Romans, but we start out chapter 8 with, now thanks be to God who gives me the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. And then chapter 8 says, now there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But when Paul's writing there, in what we see as the end of chapter 7, he's saying, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. And he says, so what is going on? What's really happening? He says, so I find that sin is at work within my members. So when we feel powerless to do what we want to do. Yeah. And he says, when we end up doing what we don't want to do, and we're not doing what we want to do, the righteous things you want to do, he said, that's a sign to us that the sin is at work within us. And if we break that word, that sin word down, it simply means harmartia or harmartano in the Greek. It simply means error or to miss the mark. That's the root definition, is miss the mark. Is you're aiming at a target and you miss the mark. That's why it says we're supposed to aim for faith. That's our target is faith.
Absolutely.
And so anything that's not of faith, Paul wrote later in Romans, he said anything that's not of faith is sin. So anything that's not of faith is missing the mark. So that's what we want to target at. So when we're thinking about this, I was meditating on it, I was talking to the Lord, I said, listen, how do I help people? How do I help myself first and foremost? But how do I then help your people? How do we all grow and get to a place where we're not see, listen, I discover a problem. Paul is talking in Romans 7 and he says, I find, that I'm doing the things I don't want to do. And I'm not doing the things I want to do. And I said, okay, Lord, we've been taught in the church to come to operate from a place of condemnation. We're taught that. I mean, it's not preached from the pulpit necessarily, but that's what comes forth is you're a rotten sinner and horrible person and you should be groveling every time you come to church.
That's the mentality. That,
yeah.
Whether they say it, they tell you that's not what we're saying, but that's what comes forth, the fear mentalities and the negativity that comes from the pulpit. And if people don't want to acknowledge that, that's fine. But I'm telling you, that's the modus operandi of the Pharisaical spirit that is alive and well in the church today.
That's right. That's
and we need
right.
And we need to expose it. Stop, you know, we got to stop this fear mentality and this controlling mentality that's going on in the church. But one of the reasons that that spirit is alive and well is because people don't know how to deal with what they discover. I'm discovering something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been taught the flip side of faith is that if you find something wrong, you don't talk about it. You don't say anything about it. And so they act like it doesn't happen, right? Isn't that what we're taught? We're taught the faith movement. We're taught you got a sickness, you don't say you got a sickness because then you're
you say,
I'm not sick. Yeah. Because somebody says, well, I'm dealing with this sickness, or I feel sick. And they go, oh, are you claiming the sickness over your body? No, stupid. I'm acknowledging something that's literally happening right now.
Yeah.
But I can still stand in faith. And so this is where people get this mixed message coming from the pulpit of, I'm not allowed to acknowledge something because then I'm reinforcing it. But at the same time, I have to acknowledge it because I want to deal with it. It's something that I got to deal with. I got to look at it. So I said, Lord, what's this real solution? And he says, it's how you deal with it. He said, if you deal with it from a place, this is the key, Apostle Lee, when I was meditating, talking with the Lord, he said, this is the key. He said, my church doesn't look at their problems from a place of freedom and liberty.
They look at it from a place of bondage. That's right.
They look at that place they look at their problems and they think God is going to get after me. God is going to punish me. And it's come down from the pulpit for centuries, long before we were here. It's come down from the pulpit where they say, you messed up and God, sinners in the hands of an angry God. Well, he was so angry that he paid for sin once for all with his own blood. That's how angry he is with right now. He's so angry that he poured out his grace and mercy on you so that you could be free.
He's so pissed.
He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Yet we come at it like
7 minutes
apart. Every time
don't burn me up.
I know.
I'm
trying to be fast. We come at it every time, not from a place of victory and freedom. Whenever we discover,
that's true.
I discover something's wrong, that's my opportunity to go, I have another level of freedom to step into because I've seen an error that can now be corrected by the grace of God. Yet we come at it because we've been conditioned and taught to come at it from a place of punishment, to where I'm going to cower and hide like a beaten child, but that's not the heart of God. And I'll stop there because it's too big of a subject. But that's just a taste. We got to come at it from liberty. Liberty. When I discover that I'm doing something wrong, when it's revealed to me, hey, you're messing something up, that's an opportunity for me to step into a new level of freedom, not for me to feel guilt and condemnation. That's because the only way it says, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So
that's absolutely
I can't deal with the flesh from a place of flesh or condemnation or guilt.
That takes me to this point, Apostle, and I've said this a lot lately because when the Spirit of the Lord dropped this in my spirit, it was amazing to me. He said, you'll never deal with the problem on the same level as the problem. There always has to be a higher authority. There always has to be a higher place that you deal with the problem. It doesn't get dealt with on the same level. And there were a couple things that you said, and we're not going to anyway get to where all the places we want to go because I really want to talk about Melchizedek and talk about the two things that
Another
we've been
talking
to, kings and priests. Oh, my God, such amazing things that we want to talk about. Unfortunately, we're on this 30-minute time constraint. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Anyway, you talked about, how people come into, how they come into the thing. And when we deal with religion, my wife's talking about the difference between religion and relationship, between the church and the ecclesia. When we come to him, it's the way we come to him that matters. Religion prays you in. They want you to say a prayer to come in. The kingdom invites you in. I want y'all to write that down.
Yes.
Religion prays you in. The kingdom invites you. I was just writing it down, Apostle. I'm telling you, I'm on fire tonight. I'm feeling a move of God just uncommon in this season. I'm telling you, religion prays you in. The kingdom invites you in. It gives you all of the information that you need to make an informed decision that this is what I want to do. Listen, when we talk about that message, that message is about giving you the information that you need to understand that where you are, you don't have to remain there. That's what happened with the woman with the issue of blood. It's what happened with the man that was sitting at the pool of Bethesda. It's what happened with the man at the gate called Beautiful. It's what happened with the blind man. He said, listen, you don't have to stay here. I'm going to leave. I love Jesus, how he did the blind man. He led him out of that captivity. He led him out of the familiar place.
Mm-hmm.
He led him out of that place where he had been in that position for so long, led him to another location, and then touched his eyes. When he touched his eyes, he could have had him see normally, Apostle, but a lot of people missed the prophetic thing about what he did. He touched his eyes, and the man saw men as trees. Throughout the Bible, we're declared to be trees. We're declared in the light of being depicted as trees, trees of righteousness. You know, all of these different things that we're depicted as, but he wanted him to see things from a different dimension before he let him see them the way they were. He wanted to let him see that there was a different reality besides the one that he was about to see.
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell you.
Absolutely.
So how we come matters. And then there's this thing. Something working on the inside. Paul recognizes there's something turning in me. Same thing with Ezekiel. That's where those wheels in the middle of the wheel come from. That's that operation of the Spirit of God that works in mankind. That's why he wrote his law on the tablet of our hearts, so that there would be something working in us. And that's the thing that's battling with your flesh when you don't understand that you're unregenerate, that you have not tapped into your proper frequency, that you've been drawn away from the proper frequency, and now you have to get back to that. So the message has to be given to you that you're on the wrong frequency, you're playing the wrong sound, and that's why you're getting all of these results. So now we have to bring you into the right frequency so that you can play the right sound. And that's a decision, okay? Anything that's not a faith is sin. You mentioned that. You're talking about personal discovery.
Yep.
That's what we're doing on Wednesdays with the personal detox on Periscope at Apostle Crystal Lee. Meet me there this week at 11 a.m. Listen, that's important.
All right.
Because personal discovery brings you into this place where you recognize you are in sin. Before that, people just operate. They don't know that that's sin necessarily sometimes. They really are operating from a place of information. This is what I know. This is how I know to operate. This is how I know to do. Then something starts working in them, and now they're being confronted. And like you said, when you're dealing with religion, that deals with a condemnation side of things. But this work has already been done. And so you're coming into the knowledge of a finished work, and all you have to do is flip the script and say, oh, I don't have to be here anymore. Let me just walk through this door.
Right.
Let me just walk through this door of forgiveness. Let me just walk through this door of regeneration. Let me just walk through this door, and old things are now new. Everything that's old about my life, now all of that's been made new. That was the old me. I'm walking through the door of the new me, and old things are passed away. Are you listening to me? So you have that thing, who am I? Whose am I? Where am I going? How do I get there? That's all that the kingdom message is about. It's about giving you that information. And as you talked about the I'm not sick thing, when we look at Ezekiel 37, there's something that's very specific in that verse. He didn't say, don't act like these bones ain't dry. Don't say that they dry bones. He said, no, I want you to speak to the dry bones and say, oh, ye dry bones.
Right.
He made him say to these bones, you dry. I want you to know you dry.
Exactly.
Ain't no question that you
dry.
We're not going to act like you're not dry, because that's not how we get manifestation here. We go get manifestation by acknowledging where you are and then dictating to you by way of the Spirit where you should be. Listen, that's what this is about.
Absolutely.
This thing that we're talking about tonight, prophetic and opposite that identity, and recognize what God has called you to, a king and a priest, and how that operates. You know, when we talk about apostolic and prophetic identity, you know, we're talking about operating outside of the norm. You know what I'm saying? Operating in the supernatural. That's our norm, the supernatural. We're not under the law of original sacrifice. We're under a different law, and that's what this prophetic and apostolic identity is all about. Listen, we love you so much. I wish we had more time to share. I wish we did, but this is what God has called us to in this season. So we only going to give you snippets here, and you can find us in some other places. But listen, we love you, and we appreciate you being here. We honor you. I honor my mother tonight, and I love you so much. Apostle, tell these people you love them so we can get out of here.
I love you so much. Operate in freedom, not from a place of expected punishment. Operate from a place where God wants to liberate and set you free. All you have to do is come before him and boldly into his throne and accept the grace and mercy that's there. It's not about a covenant of condemnation and guilt. It's a covenant of freedom and liberty.
Yes.
And your conscience isn't seared,
so
you're ready to get in there. Amen. Love y'all.
Absolutely. Love you now.